This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday. I know they're saying it's going to be warm out there, but Rach and I went for our walk, and it was pretty nice.
Yeah.
Really
like
nice.
Like 70 at that point.
Kind of breezy. I love the breeze.
The no humidity
like Trump,
thing.
Didn't I?
I?
Yeah.
I love the breeze.
Some people call
wind.
It a breeze.
The
very
wind.
Windy.
That's what I call it.
Breeze hit your face. Yeah, I do. I love it.
It's the lack of humidity. That's why it's so great.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. I never think about humidity.
Oh, that's all I think about.
Really?
I think about humidity
a lot.
The dew
point.
Oh, the
dew point.
Oh, my God. The dew point. Yeah.
The dew point's what gets you.
It'll get you.
I'm going to say it. If you guys ever lose your show, you're going to have to get divorced because you are the most married couple I know.
Yeah.
Oh, the dew point. Here she goes with the dew point.
Tell him, Ronch. Tell him about the dew. What happened yesterday? Remember?
It's the only thing we agree on is that the dew point is very important.
You'll always have the dew point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I was a nerd.
You are.
Yeah. I know. I thought this I was alone in that.
Speaking of nerd, I need a ruling on the dumbest DoorDash order anyone's ever done.
Oh, no.
Wait till you hear it. It's ridiculous.
Uh-oh.
So, in my defense, since COVID, the whole salt thing, my appetite's really weird and off, and sometimes weird things sound good to me. And last night, I was looking at an Italian restaurant. You know, I got all this stuff and all, you know, fettuccine, Alfredo, blah, 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 blah. And then I saw fish and chips. And I'm like, well, that sounds pretty good.
Mm.
You never order fish and chips from an Italian restaurant. Just there's, you know, number one. But here's where I need a ruling.
Okay.
It was fish and chips. Fish and chips, $21. Okay? A little expensive for fish and chips. I always think of those being more like a burger or a French dip or something. But it's fish and chips. That's the meal. And then they said, pick a side. And one of the options was fries. I'm like, surely... The fish and chips come with chips, so yeah. I'm going to get a side of pasta. And it showed up with no chips. That's bull crap, right?
Well,
if it's called fish and chips, the chips
should
be
there. Chips are fries.
Yes. Well, yeah. Yeah.
The chips are fries. Yeah.
I knew I could count on you guys.
Yeah. Don't complicate that. That's what it should be. And it should just say that and said, this is your side. If you would like something else, you could choose something else.
Side, yes.
Or you could replace it. You could say, I want pasta instead of chips, but that should be automatic.
Like spaghetti and meatballs.
Yes, there's meatballs.
You wouldn't.
Right.
The meatballs are not an option.
I've been waiting 16 hours to talk about this.
Yeah, nope, you're in the right.
Fish and chips is almost one word.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
They don't even use the A and the D and
and.
It's just the N. Just the N. Fish and chips.
So you I mean it would have been reasonable to think it's going to be the fish and the fries and then whatever the other thing is.
But I
wouldn't have thought there'd be another thing.
See, I would have ordered the fries because I would have been like, "Oh, it's like fish and chips and chips."
Right.
More fries.
Yes,
yeah.
It would never occur to me. Wow.
So I had fish and wet pasta.
Gross.
Yum.
I don't know why that's worse than dry, but
individually were they okay?
The fish was better than the pasta.
Okay.
I think the noodles.
At the Italian place.
What's that? At the Italian place.
That's really interesting.
Yes. I didn't even think about that.
Interesting.
Didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Man.
That's all I had for the show.
All right.
Well,
that was a good day.
Then what?
Yeah. Not too bad.
But it is upsetting.
We've had worse shows.
We all agreed.
But I think a lot of people will be thinking about this.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so, too.
It's pretty wrong.
And hopefully that place, if you know who you are, I'm not going to name you because I like the place, but if you know who you are, remedy this.
Yeah. Did you use the DoorDash?
I did.
The actual...
I wonder if it's their menu.
It might be them. It might be DoorDash that screwed it up.
Like
because
their menu's weird?
Yeah.
Well, and you think at the restaurant they went, oh, he wants fish and chips without the chips.
I mean, that's how I would take it if that order came through that way.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the structure that they have in place that is not accurate.
Here's another thing. Am I the only person who, when you were a kid, was scared by the Monster Mash?
It is a little creepier than it should be.
Thank what? You.
It's a Halloween song.
No,
it's supposed to be creepy.
It should be fun, but you're like, it's not 100% fun.
It was a jam. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
But then
every time I listen, at some point, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah. Because I think there's something creepy about evil people having fun.
Could be.
I think that's what it is.
The Grinch also scared me, like the song.
Oh.
I like the show, but the Grinch, the song.
Very ominous.
Yes. Sung by Tony the Tiger. I'm sure you all knew that.
Yes.
I was scared by the Thriller video.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's scary.
Where he changes into a werewolf?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
But wait, aren't they zombies?
Yes, but
he becomes a werewolf at one point.
Yeah, there's a whole like 17 minute or maybe
yeah,
it's longer,
no, it's a super
like a
long
whole video.
Yeah.
I thought the zombies were scary.
Oh, yeah. You want me to ruin it for you? They're at the theater with his lady friend, and then they're leaving, and then the full moon comes out and changes into a werewolf.
And he's like, ow.
That's scary.
And then later he's a zombie.
Right, and then he dances with the zombies.
Then he dances with the zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the changing of the werewolf thing, that used to get me as a kid.
Another thought I had last night. I had quite a night. Enjoying my fish and wet pasta. But we just brought some pandas into the country from China. We get to borrow them for a couple years or something. Pandas are still bears. If you were mauled by a panda, would you just feel so stupid while it was happening?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you should know it's a bear. It's in the name.
No, I feel stupid because I'm getting mauled by a cute thing.
Oh, they're huge and strong.
I know. I think they can be very mean.
The babies are very cute, though.
I would feel stupid. I would be like, oh my gosh, why couldn't it have been a grizzly?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of, there's
get
something
it over
kind
with
of cool.
fast.
But like, if you're getting mauled by a panda, you should feel stupid because you put yourself in that position.
Well, they're missing the point. That's not the exercise we're doing here. You're going to be mauled.
Oh, so we're
going to
find a random panda in the wild. Okay.
That would never happen.
Would never happen.
I'd also never have $1 million if I did, and I wouldn't pose a stupid question and then hand it out.
So what you're saying, Amy, is...
We agreed we're already stupid for getting mauled.
Forget the pandas. We need to get Moo Dang over here.
Who's Moo Dang?
That hippo.
The hippo.
The little baby hippo.
Little baby hippo.
She's hilarious.
Oh.
She's a she, right?
I don't know, but it's adorable.
Yeah. She's always biting people.
Yeah.
She's a biter, isn't she?
Yeah, she is a biter.
Like, that's not uncharacteristic of young animals, though. Like, puppies bite you all the time. Kittens will bite you all the time because they don't know. They just learn it.
I bit a lot as a kid.
You did?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too. When you have a puppy, okay, and it does bite like that and it's cute because it doesn't hurt, mm-hmm. are you supposed to teach it at that time not to do that?
Yes.
Well, first of all, it does hurt when they're very little puppies and
needle
they have
teeth.
Their little razor teeth.
Yeah, they got needle
what
teeth.
What is the purpose of the razor teeth?
Because they otherwise won't be able to eat their food. They don't have strong jaws yet.
I mean, I guess so. They will slice you when to pieces.
It's
when,
not great for mom.
When when Debbie Monterey, when she got her little puppy, I swear, she had this big puffy coat on because it was winter, right? Kind of went below her knees. And every day she showed up, she had a new piece of tape over the coat.
Yeah.
Because the puppies, they just kind of, they bite and it's just little razor teeth.
On anything that looks like a game, they're in.
Yeah.
You know, anything like a little rope that's dangling or like the jacket hanging on, they're like, this is a toy.
There's so many things like that that you should be teaching them, but everything they do is so cute.
I know.
Well, I mean, can...
I get mauled by a panda.
Yeah,
exactly.
I've always trained the dogs that we've had, like, the biting is okay, but only when it's approved. Like, if they're doing it, and... Because there are times when you're actively playing. Like, you can play with them and they'll bite, but when you say stop, they have to stop.
Daddy says, bite me now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, it works.
It's just a really fun
now,
way
if
to
you
put
have
that.
Certain dogs, certain dogs, you should be more careful with that.
Now, did you
the bigger, the stronger the dog, the more careful you want to be with that.
Did you do that with Phoebe and Nick, like where you wanted to correct their grammar, but it was so cute?
Oh, yeah.
So one of my students used to say, he was like 4, and he said, tooken. Like, I tooken that yesterday. She tooken it from me, and I loved tooken. It was so cute.
Nick finally stopped saying breffix when he was about 14. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, Dad's God. Like, I'm
not
even
you tell me
that.
I've been getting
like,
it wrong.
We all just called it that.
Breffix. Yeah.
Like, where are we going for breffix?
Oh.
That's cute.
Then one day he's like, thanks for nothing.
But it's adorable, and you're like, this is only going to last so long. I'm going to let him say it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Until he embarrasses himself in front of people.
Yeah, and then
or embarrasses you. That's even worse.
That's wrong. Oh, yeah. Wait, you've been letting him talk like that?
One more thought. The scariest movie of all time is hands down The Wizard of Oz. Prove me wrong.
I know that's what I've heard.
You've never seen it?
I've seen it. But I also don't see scary movies, so I don't count.
Did it scare you?
It did, but I could if I had to watch that or The Hunger Games, I would watch Wizard of Oz because The Hunger Games is too scary. But it is because of the flying monkeys.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, yeah,
it's all terrifying.
It's so terrifying. I think it's don't you think it's the
they
element
wings,
of
though.
The insane? That's what makes it so scary. Like Willy Wonka is kind of creepy.
Yeah, that's
because
good,
he's kind
good call.
Of insane.
Good call. Yeah.
But Mason Jar feels that way. The Wizard of Oz is just the scariest.
Okay, I've always said the green of that witch is unlike any green. And this wasn't it made in like the late 30s?
It was made
like
black
that?
And white and then colorized later, I think.
Yeah.
No.
Technicolor. It was colorized then.
It was
but
the first Technicolor.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the reveal to everybody.
Oh, that's right. That's
right. It starts in black and white.
Right.
Goes to color, and then people in the theater were like, oh my God, look at this.
Yeah. A long time since I saw that because I hate that movie.
I have one more thought. I'm literally blowing through all of my show prep here. I don't know why.
That's all right.
But I was watching my favorite show last night, hosted by Chris Ronji lookalike John Henson, called Halloween Baking Championship. And
seen it. I've seen it.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's what I love about it.
Sometimes it's too scary.
I didn't know he was still around.
What? Their manner of critiquing is what I want in my life.
Yeah.
That's what I want from a friend and a spouse and a boss. Because they're always like, I would have liked to have seen your piping a little cleaner, but the meringue is delicious.
So
right?
It's always, the criticism is couched with a compliment.
Yes, or, every time.
The bald guy that's a baker.
Duff,
thank you. He'll also do that, and he'll kind of look at you and go, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? The almond flavoring, he's like a little strong. He's like, that's right, it was a little strong.
They
like
get
a
it,
loving
they
father.
They get it right.
Yes.
They get it right.
They make you say it before it's you.
Well,
before
no,
they
just
say
like,
it?
He's like the loving father where he's kind of like, you know what you did. And then like Carla.
You know what
the one
you
woman,
did.
Yeah, the Carla always like points out something positive.
Yeah. Yeah, from my childhood, like I would do a drawing and my mom and dad would be like, Jesus! What the hell is, what it's supposed to be a panda? I don't read panda. I'm just gonna go back to my room now. No promises, no demands. Little Pat Benatar today. Gotta hand it to Pat, man. She, would we even have female rockers the way we do today without Pat?
I mean, she was definitely...
Was Janis before
say she
her?
Was, no, she was the kind of the bridge.
Yeah.
Right? So you had Janis Joplin was... She wasn't the first by any means, but well, maybe one of the first rock women vocalists.
Yes.
Not that there weren't, you know, obviously other types of singers, but then Pat Benatar, Joan Jett were around the same time because the Runaways were a thing around the same time Pat Benatar came in. So it's kind of a little bridge to Hart and all the others that followed that.
I served Joan Jett food once.
Nice.
Get out.
How was she? Was she nice?
Well, so I had to take it down to the green room.
Yeah.
I was working at the restaurant, and they played a private show there. And they had their green room down the hallway. I had to go down there. And as soon as I walked in the door, she kind of went behind this curtain like I was going to bother her.
Oh, no.
And then her manager, I put down all the food. It was a big tray of food. And he's like, hold on a second, young man. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get a huge tip. He comes back with a Joan Jett CD that's signed. And he goes, here you go. I'm like, oh, come on, man. What was the tip?
Do you still have it?
No. I don't know where it is. I probably should have kept that, though, huh?
Was this like at her peak?
No, it
no,
was
he would have been too old for that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was way past that.
Yeah, I probably didn't need to keep it.
Would you guys like to know what horror movie you should watch based on your zodiac sign?
Sure.
Yep.
Okay. Rach?
Leo.
Leo. It.
Ugh.
Leos are all about play, romance, and the inner child.
Oh, yeah. Well, so obviously you want a killer clown, too.
Because
yeah.
we're the same, because our birthdays are... Like 2 days, one day, 2 days.
I think we're 4 days apart because you're the 26th, right?
Yeah.
I'm the
30th.
Wheeler, what are you?
I am Sagittarius.
Sagittarius. The Devil's Rejects.
Yes. Oh my God, that's the first time a horoscope thing's been right about me.
Sagittarius loves a cheap laugh, a getaway car, and the call of the open road.
Oh
Let's
my gosh.
Go.
I'm picturing you in your car with the tortilla slapping. That's you.
Yeah.
Cheap laugh.
You slap the tortilla.
No,
in the
you've
car?
Seen that. The videos on TikTok where everybody where they slap each other with tortillas.
Yes, that's pretty funny.
He loves it.
Yeah, I do.
It's pretty funny.
It's great.
Ron, what are you?
Pisces.
Oh. A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh.
Pisces rules the 12th house of the dreams and the unconscious mind.
That's what people used to say about me.
Yeah, right?
Wait, it rules the what?
The conscious of the
mind.
Something.
Yeah, the 12th house of dreams.
Yeah, 12th house of dreams.
In the conscious
That's
of the mind.
That's your husband.
You know
your
about
radio
this.
Husband.
I didn't know about any of the 12 houses.
No. Well, but 1 through 11, who knows?
Who knows?
Andrew, what are you?
Hang on, I've got to wait for my Google search for what is the coolest zodiac sign. To
Oh, my God.
This says Aries.
Are you Aries?
No, I'm Cancer.
What are you? You're Cancer. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Ooh.
Oh,
okay. We're just talking about that one today.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Cancer
Love
is
Gary
the
Oldman.
Most nostalgic sign, and the people tend to long for everything and everyone they have ever lusted for, lost, or loved.
Oh, my gosh.
Boy.
That's not you.
Yeah.
I mean.
He's always talking about that kind
biography.
Of stuff.
Biography.
Do you feel seen?
I think that's what my Twitter bio says.
Yep.
Sounds exhausting, honestly.
Yeah, it does. Everyone you've ever lusted, lost, or loved.
Like,
quite
just
a list.
All the other ones are like, move on.
I can't.
Never.
I shan't. I'm Virgo, and that is The Shining.
Oh.
Virgo is ruled by Mercury, the planet of communication and exchange. And a communication in the form of telepathy helps to save the day.
That seems like a stretch.
Hey, I didn't crap on yours.
No, I'm not crapping on it. I'm just saying, if that's what they came up with, is that like, what's a horror movie that involves communication?
Do you think they make the horoscope? I mean, I know the answer to this question, but it feels like they make them intentionally obtuse when they say things like, and telepathy will save the day. It's like, well, what are you talking about? Yeah. How does this apply to my life?
I think
life?
It's because, like, when I was a kid, I would read it every day and, like, lived by it. Like, I really thought it was just like...
Like a fortune?
Like a fortune, yeah. It's like, but not even a fortune. Like, it was just fact. Mm-hmm. This is just the way it is. Because you can make anything fit.
Yeah.
Tell you what, though, the birthday book, you ever divin into that?
Divin.
Is that like a birth chart?
I like to read it over breakfast. but it's really detailed, and mine is really right on.
I would try it.
Okay.
You dabble.
Dabble in the dark arts.
I'll give it a try.
Not smart enough to know any of that stuff is.
Find
but,
someone
you know.
Who you've lusted, loved, or lost.
Yeah.
Which of those three have you done the most?
Lusting. A lot of lusting.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
133 DGS on KMOX. What do we got coming up today? It's going to be a fun show. We have both the brothers from Mama's Pride coming up at 3 o'clock and play some music for us. They're doing a gig on November 23rd, I think is what I remember. Mm-hmm. And they're doing both albums in their entirety. I will be there. That is super, super cool.
Yeah.
So
last time they're ever going to do something like that.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
That's good. I love both the guys. They're good friends of mine. Ray Hartman, Mike Elam are going to be here later for the Think Tank. So, big show coming up. Can we talk about a real thing? And I'm not kidding. I'm not being whatever radio guy. I don't know where I stand on the minimum wage, because to me, it is a balancing act between serving multiple interests. And of course, the people who are working minimum wage, who keep America going, I want them to make as much money as possible. I also understand that if I own a sandwich shop and I have to pay them 15 or 17, whatever dollars it is now that the people are wanting for minimum wage, now I may have to cut their hours or their benefits or even lay them off or fire them or start charging more money for my sandwiches. Now I'm just passing it along. Anyone here have strong feelings on this topic?
Yeah, I think they should raise it to a better wage. They hadn't done it prior to the 15 an hour. It hadn't been done in how long? I remember when I started working at the it was right around the time I was working at the restaurant. It was it was 7 or 7:15 or whatever it was. That was 20 years ago. And people can't live on $7 an hour. And I understand that you're going to get the argument, well, it's not meant to be a career. Well, no, but people get the jobs they can get, right? And sometimes you have to spend 40 hours a week at a part-time job. That's all you can get. So why, if you're not spending 40 hours a week, should you not be able to, you know, be able to live, like have a basic living wage? I don't think there's any issue with that. And every time they've tried to raise minimum wage, it's been the same scare stuff every time. Oh, they're going to have to fire people. But it works every time. Every single time they've raised minimum wage, it has worked perfectly fine, even though they've tried to scare us into telling us it doesn't work if they have to do it.
Yeah,
so, go ahead, Ming.
I do think it's a balance because, yes, you want workers to be compensated well for the jobs they do. I do think certain jobs, like, say, you know, you're working a certain job at a fast food restaurant or what have you, those jobs were not meant to support a family of four. Like, it is a hard reality, especially if that's the only job you can get for a while or if that's where you're at. I do think that's why a lot of times in those jobs, they do offer career paths, like up to managers, which make more. Like at Quick Trip, you might start at minimum wage, but you can work your way up. So even if you stay in that job or that store, that Quick Trip, whatever it may be, minimum wage was not meant to support a family of four, but it could get you on a track to become a manager or a regional manager. Just like I have a friend who work at Starbucks, right? You make so much as a barista, but then as you work your way up, that could be a career. So no, I don't think minimum wage, even ethically, has to be enough to support an entire family or whatever it may be. And it is that balancing act when you're looking at businesses and what's viable or feasible for them, because also with business owners, it has its own risks, it has its own challenges, and so there does need to be incentive there for those who are running the businesses.
I'm always fascinated by the fact that we're perfectly fine. Now, we understand there are different kinds of businesses, right? There's the mom and pop sandwich shop that you're talking about, and then there's Subway. But they have to play by the same rules. We can't make a rule different for one than the other.
But I don't know if they're franchised, too, because then McDonald's are franchised.
Either way, I mean, you got a big support system, I guess, is kind of the point that I'm making. You got to kick up money, right? Because part of being a franchisee is that. But we're all, of course, CEOs and investors should pursue every dollar they can pursue. Of course they should. It's like a given. Well, why shouldn't we have the same expectation on the bottom end of it? And I think that we're always weird about this, that when a business makes decisions that are business decisions, we just go along. Like, you know, got to do what you got to do. Got to please the stockholders. But then when we want to raise it at the bottom end, it's like, oh, no, that's going to hurt us. They're both going to hurt you. You either are against them or you're not. Like, and I think Cal Berkeley did a study of the new minimum wage in California that went into effect, a couple years ago? And here we go. Look at this. I pulled it up. They found that wages increased 18%. There were no job cuts. Profit margins did not change much. And the average menu option only raised the average cost of menu options went up 3.7%. So by raising the minimum wage, it didn't lead to massive increases. It did not lead to massive decreases in profit. And it did lead to wages going up, and it did not lead to elimination of people in the workforce.
I think that's the point, though, is, again, like, you're looking at the industry and you're looking at the wage increase. We keep increasing minimum wage here in Missouri. The issue gets to when people say nationally the minimum wage should be 25 or 35. I think Rashida Tlaib went up to 40 or something like that, right? That's when you get...
Well, if you kept in line with inflation over the years going back to the 90s, it would be over 20.
Sure,
bucks.
But again, like, you're looking at those jobs. I think there are businesses that are great. There are businesses that abuse their power. There are unions that are great. There are unions that abuse their power. And that's why, like, when you look at a business, I don't, you know, like, you could say, whether it's Quick Trip or a McDonald's, I really do think, and me, you know, having worked in a small store, there was like a career path, like just like Starbucks. Do you want to be a manager? We want to move you up. I don't think they're trying to hold people at the minimum wage level for a long time because there's also a lot of turnover
but
in those
Amy,
places.
Amy, there's like one manager per store and there's 7 workers or 8 workers or 12
right,
or 20.
But
there's only so much room for growth. And I understand the point, mm-hmm. but the idea that maybe someday you'll move up is not enough to say you need to pay your bills now to offset that.
Every industry is different. I also had a really close friend who had who voted for Obama, right? Very pro-Obama, had a startup when Obama had that idea to say, okay, in startups, you have to make this much money and you have to limit the hours. You can't have all these crazy overtime. And my friend's like, oh my gosh, like we're in a massive startup in the tech industry. Right now it is crazy, but everyone who's with me is getting stock and we're all buying into this and we are working crazy hours. It's not going to be forever, but we've got to work crazy hours. And he said, if this passes, we will literally go out of business because the minimum wage was based on San Francisco tech startups versus St. Louis tech startups. And thankfully it didn't pass because that's not how business works. And he said, yes, it's a risk. And yeah, it stinks because he was working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. But if you're building stock and your business takes off, you could be like someone at Facebook, right, who retires at 25. And so to just, whether it's fast food or a startup, you can't look at all businesses and say, well, no matter what, everyone should have to pay at least this much minimum wage. That's just not the reality of how companies work.
If you just leave it to the companies, you know what they're going to do.
As cheap as labor as possible, for as long as they can get away with it. Yeah.
No, they will. That's, I mean,
look at Costco. Costco is thriving, and
so they're kind of proving that you can get away with paying people better.
Right. Yep.
Well, no, and the benefits, but they're not paying $25 an hour for minimum wage. You work your way up. I guess I'm just saying I don't look at all businesses and companies as like these evil empires.
No, they're not. They're not.
I think there's a lot of...
But there's got to be a guidepost.
Well, the government, I would say like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer probably aren't the best people for determining what that guidepost is.
Who is?
Not the senators. I think it does take business people. And again,
yeah, but which side are they going to go for? I mean, let's ask the people whose direct profit is determined by the policy.
Like I said, I don't have an answer for you. What I know is if the government tries to pass a certain minimum wage or a guidepost that applies to all businesses and all states, you're going to harm a lot more businesses than you are helping people.
Can you also make the argument that if your business doesn't allow you to support an employee for $15 an hour, maybe your business isn't that good?
Oh, so you're saying...
So like, why if your business can only survive on $7.25 an hour, having employees for $7.25 an hour, maybe your business idea isn't that good.
I don't know. You could make that argument.
Yeah. I'm not the person smart enough to do the math. But, I mean, there could be something to be said for part of what you're saying, Amy, which is it should be adjusted by cost of living in a state or in a metropolitan area. So maybe the minimum wage is different in Columbia than it is in Kansas City or St. Louis. No, this is my point. States. Like, that could be the national mandate that your minimum has to be more of a percentage related to cost of living as opposed to a flat number. Because as Amy points out, I think that's a good point, Amy, that it is different in San Francisco than it is in St. Louis.
Rach, Andrew, what do you guys think?
I mean, I think $7.25 for the national minimum wage is way too low. I mean, that's been since I graduated from high school, and that was a while ago. And that's like $580 every 2 weeks pre-taxed. I don't know who can live off that. I get Amy's point of, you know, it's not meant to raise a family of four, but I do think you should be able to at least support yourself.
I mean,
and I don't know how
pay rent.
You guys understand that. I'm not saying to keep it at $7.25. What I am saying to say it has to be $30 nationally or $25 nationally is not viable.
Yeah, and that's all I'm saying is it should be higher than that.
Is it fair to say that it should be comparable to inflation?
Nationally, but like Missouri's is like $12.30. Like, right, very state by state, but the national federal minimum wage is $7.25.
Right. I mean, should we tie it to cost of living?
I would say before we held all of these companies accountable for cost of living and inflation, let's stop subsidizing student loans and make all of these universities who are really putting an undue burden on anyone who goes to school, let's like have them tamp down their costs. You know, we talk about student debt. Well, we need to raise minimum wage now because people, how are they ever going to pay off
student debt? I think that's the next
big
change coming.
Go after the universities. It's universities and Disney World are the only ones that are just outpacing inflation to a ridiculous degree and really taking families for everything they're worth.
Andrew, thoughts?
I do think you should be able to support a family of four with it. I think that it's not unreasonable to think that. I think it's not unreasonable to say that the minimum wage should be the minimum baseline with which you can have a life and raise your family and feed your children and send them to school and afford transportation to get to and from work, things like that. I think you should be, you know, maybe not a life full of luxuries, but I don't think the things that I just listed are luxuries. I think having a family is not a luxury. I think having a car should not be considered a luxury. I think, you know, putting food on the table and being able to send your children to school easily and stuff like that, I don't think that should be considered a luxury. And when we talk about something like the minimum wage, that should be, minimum should refer to the minimum requirement to have a life as listed by the American Dream. And I don't think the current minimum wage supports that.
And how many places, too, I mean, how many industries, and we've seen it, I guarantee you, people in this room have seen it. You probably have too, Ranj. But radio is notorious for this, where everybody wants to be in this business, right? It's an attractive business. People want to talk sports, so they want to do whatever. But when you're first getting in, a lot of time what ends up happening is you're going to work close to full-time, but not enough to get full-time benefits or pay. Like, you'll work, instead of 40 hours a week, 35. Because whatever that number is, you're going to stay just below that. That happened to me when I worked at the network that used to be called Sporting News Radio, but it was a different name at the time, One-on-One Sports.
Happened to Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Yeah, we had to fight to get you
full
time.
That stuff happens not just in this. That happens all across the country, where people who are essentially doing... Because if you're working 35 hours, you do not have time for another job. That's a full-time job.
Right.
But people will put it just under the number so that you don't qualify for medical and you don't qualify as a full-time employee.
This is a whole new can of worms, but briefly, would we be better off or worse off if 90% of jobs were unionized?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know, because as Amy points it, unions have been invaluable to this country, but they are like anything else, and they can be corrupted and done poorly.
And same with public sector unions, too.
To me, that's the same as any other grouping of people. I mean... There are state governments that are run pretty well. There are state governments that are run crappy. It's not the government that's the problem. It's the people that are in it. So the idea of a union isn't the problem. It's the people running it and what people will, how they're held accountable. So anything can go bad because humans can go bad. She's
singing. Ooh, ooh. I had no idea what that line was until like 2 weeks ago.
What did you think it was?
Just like a one wing girl.
Yeah.
Shooting and doobity doobity doo. I don't know.
All I know is ooh.
Is that because doves go coo?
I don't know anything about it. It's a cool song. I probably mishear half my lyrics.
Is it white wing or wide wing?
I think it's one wing. Am I wrong?
A one wing dove?
I think that's the name of the song, right?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought it was just like a
the
wide
name of the song
wing.
Is Edge of 17.
Yeah, it's not one winged dove.
What the hell?
Just like a one-winged dove.
Creepy ass song.
Flopping around on the ground because he can't fly no more.
Flying in a circle.
Flying around in a circle hitting stuff. Look out for that tree.
Here comes that one-winged dove.
Look out for that tree. Tree.
It is ooh, though, right?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
I think it is.
Let's make sure I have that part right.
It is, by the way, for the record, it is the white-winged dove. I just looked up the lyrics.
Wide-winged dove would have been good, too.
Yeah. Well, those are work.
Getting made fun of by all those thin-winged doves.
One wing probably doesn't work so well.
Yeah, here comes the wide-winged dove.
So does it a dove that's
hopping around on the ground
got
like
white wings, but the rest of it's like not white?
That dove is all dove. When it came out of the shower, you could tell it was all dove.
Had both wings, even. Everybody was impressed by the white wing dove.
It's one wing dove.
I really thought that.
I did too.
Like, as a grown person.
Well, that's how she sings it. You know?
Isn't it funny how you just accept things?
Yeah.
Like, okay. It would suck being a one-winged dove. So
maybe it was a sad song. I don't know. I never listened to it.
Brown-eyed girl. I mean, forever. I thought it was "Hey there, Rodrigo." Days when the rains came. I'm like, Rodrigo never reappears in the song.
What is it?
Hey, where did we go?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't know either way.
But I thought it was "Hey there, Rodrigo."
What's the one "Beast of Burden"? I thought it was "Da da da da." I could suck a duck. Like, I've sang that forever. Yeah, I'm not going to be your
and
beast
if you
of
actually,
burden.
If you sang that way, that sang it live, performing with your band, nobody would blink.
No.
Yeah.
Nobody would blink.
Oh, I sang many songs where after years of singing them, Dave Cowles would go, you know, it's not Suck a Duck, right? Like,
what?
Of course I do.
Well, you know Ryan Fagan of the Sporting News.
Yeah.
I totally
awesome.
Outed him. Hopefully he's not mad. But for years, he thought it was in Piano Man. It was making love to his tiny friend Jim.
In front of everybody?
What?
You know, making love to his tonic and gin? He thought it was making love to his tiny
friend Jim?
Yeah, in the whole bar?
Yeah. That's messed up.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, in front of the Piano Man, though? No
yeah,
way?
That's...
No kidding.
That's a lot.
Have you no shame?
Poor Jim.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.